Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Thanking God for a new day and a new way, and praying that today will be better than yesterday. What a day, what a day. I'm grateful that God has given me this morning. A step in my step and a prayer in my heart. I just praise God today. In the word of Luke chapter 8, and I just happened to have been on another call this morning with my sorority sisters, Deltas in Christ. I just throw it out there, thanking God for a sorority that believes in Jesus. And she was coming out of Matthew chapter 13, which is the Matthew version of our parable today that God has given me. And the question that God said is, have you sown into good ground? And then the word that God gave me to give is, sow your seed on good ground. We got to sow our seeds on good ground. Don't just give your stuff away. Don't just fling it out there and hope for the best. We know that the seed is the word of God. And I pray that this seed is being sown on good ground. I pray this seed is being sown on good ground. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, asking you, Lord, to take control. Father, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Lord. And I ask you, Father, take control. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable. Lord God, again, increase as I decrease. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing of being able to work in your kingdom. And I ask you, Father God, on this day, to watch over your pastors, over the fivefold ministry, Lord God, that we are all sowing your word on good ground, that those that hear it, receive it, bloom with it, and spread it. But Lord, your word is truth, and we, your humble servants, bow down only to you, Father God. For there shall be no other gods before you. Father God, we thank you for your commandments. We thank you for your statutes. We thank you for the blueprint you have given us to live by. And Father God, I lift up all those traveling today, all those dealing with bereavement. Lord, I pray for bereaved families. I lift up those that have passed on, that they are in your presence, as your word says. I pray again, Father God, for sick and shut in. I pray that your word touch your hearts this morning, and that those that hear it will want to be believers and doers of it. In Jesus' name, I lift up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you, Lord God, hallelujah, praise. Amen. Thanking God for this mighty word this morning. Woo! It is an overview from Deuteronomy. As we are about to end Deuteronomy this morning, it is Moses handing the reins over to Joshua, and it is Moses passing on. Not that he was infirm, not that he was old and feeble at 120 years old, but because it was his time. And to this day, and I can say this, I watch the History Channel. They have not found his body, and they will not find his body. Believe me, there have been those that have taken sonar. They have gone all over the mountains in Moab trying to find, I should say, what would have been ancient Moab, trying to find the body of Moses. Is not going to happen. Because we know he is with the Lord. We know he was on that Mount of Transformation with Jesus. And we know that man is not meant to find the body of Moses. So let's just get into our word this morning. It is, say it with me, y'all. It is a great word to say. It is a great word. I am all excited. I love God's word. I get all giddied up for the word of God. You know, I used to say I get giddy for Jesus, which I do. I'm all just like a schoolgirl when it comes to Jesus. Like my first crush. So thanking God that he is my first love and will continue to be the love of my life. So I thank God for his son. And I thank God for each of you. So let's get into word. Get your Bible. That's what this is. This is Bible study. So get your Bibles, everybody. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. We are coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 33 through 34, verse 12. We are coming out of Psalm chapter 40. Verses 13 through 17, we are coming out of Proverbs chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, and Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. And any life lessons, life questions, what the Bible says, we will do after we finish our word this morning. So thank you again, everybody, for joining us this morning. I pray that this word touches your heart, touches your mind, touches your spirit. And I thank God again for all of you. And so the word today starts in Deuteronomy chapter 33. I will be coming out of today the New King James Version, actually from our study Bible, which is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Again, I am coming out of New King James. I will tell everybody, again, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministry to hawk this Bible, but I will tell you, it is a Bible that you need to put in your biblical arsenal. It is a Bible that will help you, that will give you guidance, and I pray that you continue joining us, but this is the Bible we will be in for the rest of the year. This is a Bible study of reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. Every day, January 1st to December 31st, the goal of this show is to read and study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. We started in this Charles Stanley Bible on January 1st. God willing, we will end on December 31st with Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And for those that don't know, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how we end. We started in the beginning, and we end with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's all again, God willing, because no one is promised tomorrow, not myself, not any of us. So it is always God willing we will reach the end of the word for this year on December 31st. So let's get in the word. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand came a fiery love for them. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. they sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun. When the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together, let Reuben live and not die. Now let his men be few. And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against his enemies. And of Levi he said, let your Tumim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, but they have observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your judgment and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. Of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew, the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruit of the sun, with the precious produce of the month, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwells in the bush. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tent. They shall call the people to the mountains. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall partake of the abundance of the seed and of treasures hidden in the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed is he who enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm and the crown of his head. He provided the first part for himself, because a lawgiver's portion was reserved there. He came with the heads of the people. He administered the justice of the Lord and his judgment with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heaven shall be also dropped dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help. the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Then Moses, chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. And this is it. This is where Moses leaves us in the Word. He's about to transition. He's about to go to God. He's about to die. And let's read what it says. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali in the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh in the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. And note, who buried Moses? God did. God buried Moses. And believe me, if God does not want Moses' body to be found, it shall never be found. God buried him. What does it say again? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. It's telling you where he is, but you won't find it. Opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Did y'all catch that? For the word tells us that no man has seen the face of God. But it tells us in Deuteronomy that Moses knew God face to face. But it says, whom the Lord. And it makes you wonder who the Lord is. We all know. Because it talks about the Lord and it talks about God. But it says, the Lord knew face to face in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power, and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel. A word, Moses saw the Lord face to face. And as we get into our psalm word, again, all life lessons and questions and what the Bible says will be done at the end of the show today. And we'll go back into Deuteronomy with a couple of life lessons. And our psalm for this morning is Psalm chapter 40, verses 13 through 17. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. David is preaching this morning. Let them be driven backwards and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of the shame who say to me, aha, Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation stay continually. The Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh Lord. Oh my God. David is there with me this morning. The Lord be magnified. We got to magnify the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But then he goes on to tell us, I am poor and needy. We all are poor and needy. We all need more Jesus. We all need more of our Father God. We all need more of the Lord. Yes, we do. And he tells him, yet the Lord thinks upon me. I'm not worthy, but God thinks upon me. We are not worthy, but he thinks upon us, each, everyone. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Let the Lord think upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just got to get a quick testimony, and then we will continue in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13 through 14, if you want to go there. I got some keys for the church, one of the church vans, from my pastor on Saturday. I could not find those keys. They were the only set of keys to this van. We thought we had left them at a meeting. We had been in attendance that morning. She actually went back over to the church where the meeting had taken place, and she couldn't find them. I looked in my purse. I looked in the back of my car. I looked all over for these keys. And when she called me and said that she couldn't, that they were not at the church, I told her, I said, I will look, and I would again, and I would tear my car up. But before I started to even think about looking, I took a minute. I said, Lord, you know that we need these keys for this van. You know they the only thing. And I'm asking you, God, please guide my hand to these keys. But they could only be in my possession, because I remember when she gave them to me. At first, I thought I'd give them back, but I realized, no, I didn't give them back. I stuck them in the pocket of my purse, because I visualized it. God showed it to me that I stuck it in the pocket of this purse. But I was picking people up, and I had stuff in my car, and God showed me the purse poured over. And I knew I had a cup in the purse, and I saw the cup laying on the floor in my car because I was cleaning out my car last night. I went to pick up this cup, and everything is black on the floor, so you can't really see very well even with the light on. I went to pick up this cup and saw something shiny. Picked up the key. They were hiding under the cup. When I picked up the cup, I picked up the keys and shouted all over my garage, thankful, grateful, and blessed that God answered my prayers. So I am thankful, and I can say this without any doubt. When you say you are my help and my deliverer, do not delay, oh my God, he does not delay. But you got to throw it up in prayer. You got to say, Lord, I need you to help me. That's what I said. Lord, I need you to help me find these keys. You know the significance of them. You know we have to be able to pick people up. And, Lord, we need these keys. And God did it. I am so thankful. God did it. Let's see what more our Lord has to say and what needs to be said in the Word of God. So please join me in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 13 through 14. And the Word of God says, He who despises the word will be destroyed. Bam. But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. I'm going to read this word one more time so that it sinks in our spirit. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. What a word. Oh, thank you, Lord. Please join me in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. And this is our word for this morning. This is where our title comes from. This word touches hearts. But before we go to Luke chapter 8, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to start out here. Hallelujah. Let me get it right. As we go into verse to chapter 13, I knew it was in the wrong place. Chapter 13, and this is what it says in Matthew. Jesus teaches in a parable the sower. And it says in Matthew 13, and it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house, and I'm coming out of NIV right now, and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parable things. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. The other seed fell on good soil, where it produced the crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. But this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear what their ears with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorn refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And that is, I just read to you, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. So now we're going to go over to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to read this story again. And this is a perspective from Luke, who was not there with them, but is a scribe. And he's telling what was told to him. And he's telling what it all means. And this is what Luke says. Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city, village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits in his family. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. And I'm just saying this. Does not say anywhere in the Word of God that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. You know, we have been told that, we have been taught that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. And maybe she was with these 7 demons. We don't know, but it does not say it in the Word. I have looked, I have diligently searched for it to say somewhere in this Word that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. I could not find it. All I could find was that she had 7 demons that Jesus removed from her. And it says that Joanna, the wife of Chezai, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their sisters. So Mary Magdalene had money. Joanna had money. Susanna had money. Mary was with Jesus at every turn. Mary was the first one to see the risen Savior. Mary has been all through the Word of God. And again, there is a book of Mary Magdalene that is not in the Bible. You got to remember, again, back in those days, men did not want women were supposed to be seen and not heard, just like children. But Mary was a powerful disciple. And she was an apostle of Christ. She was a powerful woman of God. And Jesus chose her for some great things. So we got to keep Mary Magdalene up there. A woman who had 7 demons that Jesus removed from her. And she provided for him with her substance. And it says that when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him, from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground. Well, you did God's word fall on the ground this morning. Whew, hallelujah. Sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. I'm going to say it again. The seed is the word of God. And if we go back and we say, a sower went out to sow the word of God. And as he sowed, the word of God fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock. Some of the word of God fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. Some of the word fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others, the word fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. We got to be not only hearers of the word, we got to be doers of the word. That word has got to permeate our spirit. So again, the word of God says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. The enemy don't want you saved. He don't want your children saved. He wants you still living in the world and doing whatever the world is doing. And then it goes on to tell us. But the ones on the rock are those when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. They get caught up in the blessing. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed and don't have to go to church. Blessed don't have to get more word. Blessed don't have to open it up. I got it going on. God has blessed me. Hallelujah. And you'll never see them again. Until they lose their job. Until they lose their home. Until they lose their car. Then they back to get the word and hope it for the blessings that come with it. I'm just saying. And it goes on to say, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard, come on y'all, the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Whew, that fruit of the Spirit, with patience, which is long-suffering. No one, when he has it, has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under the bed, but sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. But nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Y'all got this. And whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. We don't want the word now. We don't want God's word removed from our spirit. We want this word to grow and to permeate hearts, minds, and souls. We want to get the word out. We got to get out of four walls. I thank God that he gave us opportunity to be out there on Facebook, to be out there on Twitter, to be out there on TikTok, Instagram, whatever God has given you as your medium to speak his word. YouTube, get the word of God out there and pray that it falls on good ground. Then his mother, Lord, thank you. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, Who can this be? But he commands even the wind and water, and they obey. Hallelujah. Who is he? We know who he is. He is Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the Christ. He is Messiah. He is the Lord. He is I am. He is who he says he is. And he was there at the beginning with Daddy God. Hallelujah. Woo, where is your faith this morning? Are you stoned on good ground? Is that word stoned on good ground? Are you good ground this morning? I pray we are all good ground and that this word is yielding 160-30-fold, that you are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as we go back into our word this morning, some life lessons from Dr. Charles Sam. And the first is this, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Can we have a better friend than one who is infinitely strong and mighty, yet at the same time loving and gentle? Our God tenderly loves us and protects us, yet has defeated all our spiritual enemies, including the devil. Come on now. God is in charge of your life, and he will take control and defeat those that come at you the wrong way. Come on now. We got to give everything to the Most High and know that he has us covered. Verse number 6 of Deuteronomy 34. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. God buried Moses in a grave. He kept secret. As great as Moses was, he was only a man, and God did not want anyone to remember him as anything but a man. And if they knew where his grave was, I tell you this, there would have been those out there worshiping Moses, worshiping at his grave, making him into an idol. And God said, not today. And we know that is a trick of the enemy, to make something into an idol, to make you out there worshiping and acting up. You know, we got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And as we go to life lesson from Luke chapter 8, verses 2 through 3, and it says, And certain women who have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chaziah, Herod Stewart, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Luke came from a culture that largely dismissed or at least downplayed the importance of women. Yet he often highlights the contributions of women in the ministry of Jesus. He thus anticipates the message of Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. And our last thing for this morning, what the Bible says about that the world would know him. Can y'all do a hands up? Shout hallelujah. The world would know him. And him is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And believe me, the world knows who he is. And it says in Luke 8:16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Jesus is our light, y'all. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Says, these three questions are eternally significant. Who is God? What is he like? Can we know him? The world is filled with religions that claim to give the answers to these questions. However, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the truth. God is our Father. He is loving, and he most certainly knowable through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is why you are told in Luke 8:16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. You have come to know the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You cannot hide that you know him. Rather, you must allow his light to shine through you so that they can also have his light, so they can also accept the salvation he offers. You got to let this light shine. As the kids say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We got to let our light shine to let those that see us see Jesus in us. Because you may be the only Jesus someone sees. And are you showing the light of Christ, or are you in darkness? And it says this, this is what God wants most for your life, that you would come to him, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you would daily grow in your walk with him, that you would live out the plan, live out the plan he has for your life, and that you would tell others about the great gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift that we are all given by God. The question is, do you accept this gift? The desire of God's heart is that all people would know him. As 1 Timothy 2:3-4 tells us, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Christ died for the sins of everyone in this world, and he desires that everyone be rescued from the grip of sin. God's provision of forgiveness of sin and of eternal life in heaven is offered to every person on earth. God didn't create anyone to be lost for all eternity. 2 Peter 3:9, though some will choose to be lost through their own stubborn will. John 3:17-8. For this reason, he sends us to every corner of the earth to share the gospel. And I'm thanking my brothers and sisters in France and Denmark that are listening this morning. Thank you, Germany, for listening in. These countries, we have listeners in, and I thank God for each of you. And as we continue to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We call it the Great Commission. Come on now. And it is his desire that we spread his gospel across the world until every living soul has heard it. God will enable and empower each of us to witness for him through his Holy Spirit. Then we have the incredible opportunity to tell others about the desire of God's heart, that they would know him and grow in him. So don't hide the light that is in you. Share it with this lost world that needs to see so desperately. Tell them who God is, what he is like, and how we can know him. Truly, those will be the best questions you will answer all day. Hallelujah. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his kindness. Thank God for his love today. Are you sown on good ground? Do you know the Lord today? Sow your seed on good ground. Spread the word of God. Sow your word. Sow God's word on good ground that it may take root. Know who you belong to. You are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and all he wants from you. Sow your seed. Sow this word. Let those that see you, if you are called to evangelize, evangelize the word of God. If you're called to intercede, intercede for your lost brothers and sisters, that they will be saved, that they will be set free, that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit and the light of Jesus Christ. Know who you belong to. You are all to God. Before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word is this. Good morning. Man's opinion doesn't stand against God's decision for your life. Have a terrific Tuesday. And I'm saying that again, because that word is for someone this morning. Man's opinion doesn't stand against God's decision for your life. Put your trust in the Lord today. Put your trust in God always. Know who you belong to. And you belong to the Most High God. And our devotional word this morning is coming out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, ESV. Desire humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Lord, when I seek you with all my heart, I find you. You are not hiding in an obscure part of the earth. I don't have to go on a pilgrimage to find you. I find you right here in the middle of my joy and my mess. Come on now. The life I long for is not to be found in the next thing. I won't find satisfaction in the nostalgic memories of my past. Right here is where I will find what I long for in the working out of my faith, in the nitty-gritty parts of life. I choose you today, Lord. I humble myself before you, laying down my longings and ambitions of your mercy, knowing that you alone are the one who can satisfy me. As I go about my day with you in mind, I know I will find you in places I wouldn't think to look. Twice on my own, I offer myself to you. In every moment, may my mind continually turn to you today. And a question to contemplate this morning is this. What does submission to God and humility look like to you? Are you good ground? Are you sowing into good ground? Are you the good ground that the word has been sown into this morning? That is our word. That is our devotion. That is all I have. If there is anyone that God has put in your heart to speak a word this morning, push the number 1 on your phone. And if you are not on the phone, call 213-943-3597. Again, the number is 213-943-3597. And you can use that call-in number anytime to call into the show. We are here every day, Sunday through Friday, from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. God willing, I will do my assignment. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for all of you. I say to you this morning, as we get ready to wrap it up, as we pray every day, and as I pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are the good ground that the word has been sown on today. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day. Let your light shine, for the light that shines through you is Jesus. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work, y'all. Let's go to work for the Lord today. Let that light be shining. Let it shine all over you. Shine light down over your children. And again, sow your seed on good ground. And that was God speaking to me. For I have sown his seed, this word, on good ground, which is each of you. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And what is a wrap? We are always willing, ready, available, present, and praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. And know that you are all being prayed for. It's a wrap.